Hey, this is Al Fink here at BNCLive.com. And we're on the air here. It's 9:30 p.m. on Tuesday, one of the last couple days of May. And summer's fast approaching, and the beaches are open. So what we're going to do now is we're going to start featuring some of the bands that play at the Jersey Shore. And tonight we have Gene Potts with us. He's played in many bands throughout his career in music, throughout the Jersey Shore and other areas as well. Tonight he's representing the Colossal Street Jam. Gene, how are you?
I'm doing great, Al. Thanks for having me on. Great to talk to you again.
You're very welcome. We wouldn't have a show if it wasn't for you guys. So let's talk a little bit about the Colossal Street Jam. Kind of give me I'm looking at your website. There's a long history here, but I'd like you to kind of tell us about that, and then I'll start asking you questions about that.
Sure. We got together in 89. I was a teenager. We started playing out and writing and recording music. Lasted for a couple years, had some small label interest, had some A&R people coming out, and just through patience and the lack of patience, I should say, we kind of fell off the map around 95. We had put out a CD in 93, which was doing very well for us, and we did very well in the local Asbury area, Fast Lane, Pony, Rock Horse, played some shows in New York City, out of state, did some different things here and there, but it just kind of went by the wayside in 95. We all went and did different things after that. Sal and I, the guitar player for Colossal, continued to do some things together, including an acoustic trio, and just keeping together and started writing songs again. And we decided on the 20th anniversary of our 93 release that we would get back together for a show and see how it would go. And after we did the show, we decided to stay together. And we started writing some new material, getting out, playing some different shows, got to play with Robbie Krieger from The Doors, went out, played with King's X, did some really good shows. And our original drummer, decided that it wasn't for him anymore. So about a year and a half ago, we brought in Dave Halpern. Dave Halpern was from Love in Reverse, Mr. Reality, Highway 9. He is also John Eddie's touring drummer. After he joined the band, a lot more great things started happening. And then we just recently had Eric Safka, who played with the Matt O'Ree band and also with Days Awake. Eric Safka just joined the band. So we decided to get in the studio, get all these tunes down, and we put a new release out November 12th, and it's been selling great. It's been getting radio play here and also overseas, and life's been good. It's been a good ride getting back at it again and playing with my best friends, and now we're talking about the UK, Germany, Netherlands, and wherever we can get in the US. So it's a good time.
European market, it seems prime for your music. I was listening to some of the music that you have up on the Reverb Nation, and it's very popular in Europe, the rock and the blues. You have a bluesy sound, and that's very popular in Europe. Have you gone over yet and played, or have you gotten any invitations, or you're still working on something like that?
I haven't been over myself, but we are it's in the works.
Cool.
We're definitely getting a lot of radio play over there. Internet radio play has been phenomenal. We've had about 12,000 plays throughout UK and Germany and places like that, and it's been really interesting. The amount of fan mail and messages and Facebook messages and everything like that we've been getting, it's been great. So we started some talks with some people over there, and we're looking at maybe early 2018. We're going to try and at least get out there for a week or two and see how it goes.
That's fantastic. Have you checked out Mixcloud? There's SoundCloud, there's Mixcloud. There seems to be a lot of European, Eastern European, as well as Western European people on that. I don't know if you ever heard of that, but it's similar to SoundCloud. That's a place where you might be able to network.
Wow, I definitely will. I mean, I did sign up to it for the band, but I never really did anything with that. You know, we're doing the Reverb Nation, like you said, Facebook. I did do SoundCloud. I really do need to update that, too. But, you know, any of the social media pages we're doing, and we're doing this Django Radio, is an internet radio station overseas that has really been very helpful with us, too. So, yeah, we're getting it out there. You know, we're just going to keep pushing. The fun thing about this is we got back together just to revisit it. You know, we never really had an expectation, and here we are, probably more popular than we ever were. And it's really interesting. It's great to get called for shows or to play with national acts and have to, you know, ask or beg to get on shows. So it's been really good. The fan base has been everybody's been loyal, and all the old people have come back, and it's like a whole new crowd, and it's really great what's going on. I to say that I expected it, I never did. I really just thought we were going to make some music for ourselves, put a record out, have some, you know, local success, hopefully, but now this has really gone to a whole other level that we didn't expect.
It's hard out there because there's so much competition, you know, especially like now with the internet. You know, you look at the way music has changed. You know, I remember when I was a little boy, I'm 60 years old, but I remember when I was a little boy, they had 45s. So we'd go out and we'd buy these 45s for like 50 cents, 29 cents. And that's how the records, or not the records, but the artists would kind of introduce themselves. And then they would go on tour. And, you know, back in the 80s, that's when these albums started to really hit, where they were selling these platinum and gold albums. Now we're kind of back. We're kind of back where your uploads and your streaming single songs are kind of like the 45s again. And then now you got to be on tour. You know, I watched an interesting thing last night, and it was a biography of Michael Jackson. And towards the end of his career, or towards the end of his life, he didn't do a whole lot of touring. You know, he didn't want to do touring. And he really started to run into money trouble because he had no money coming in, because that the only way they wanted to pay him was to be on stage in Las Vegas, you know, and entertain. So this is really where these bands need to be today. You have to tour. You got to go out and tour.
You
make your money doing that.
You have to. And I have friends that are in underground popular bands. And the only way they make their money is to go out there. The Atomic Bitchwax, Monster Magnet, you know, bands like that. They have to get out on the road to make their money. You know, and that's the only way they survive. Because the record sales, like you said, you know, your typical listener is buying a 99-cent download. They're not buying your $10, $15 album anymore. And it's hard to survive that way.
Absolutely.
You know, for us, like what we're doing is that the music that we're selling, we're really putting it right back into the project to make the next record, because we're not sitting back. We were gone for a while, so we put the record out November 12th. We plan on putting another one out November 12th, you know, this year. So
that's
we're already
amazing.
We already have studio time ready to go, and we have never stopped writing. Sal, our guitar player, is like a machine. He's got these great riffs in his mind. Now that we have Eric on the Hammond organ and we have Dave Halpern in the band, you know, these guys are now our musical arrangers, along with Sal and, you know, Tony, our original bass player, who was in the band before I even was in the band. So we've come together as this team. You know, and me, you know, take myself out of the equation and looking at these guys, go, man, I got the best team possible right now to do what I want to do. And it's so great. It's really great. And the thing that sells us is our live show. It's just really electric, and really just the energy is crazy. I got these guys on stage are they're animals, and, you know, they put on a great show. And you know, we leave it all out there on the stage every night, I think, and it's fun. And it's really helping us get to that next level.
I've been to some of your shows and when you had other bands, and I see the kind of entertainer you are. You know, music is part of the equation. Like you're saying, you got to get out on the stage and you have to entertain, and that's what you're doing. That's what's bringing the crowds. You know, your interaction with the crowd. I've watched you. I've probably seen about 20 of your shows over the last 10 or 15 years. I used to be a real bar fly, and yeah. I would go to all the clubs around the New Jersey Shore, and you were there all the time. You know, and we'd follow you, and because one of the reasons you get people up dancing, you're entertaining people, you're interacting with the crowd. So let me ask you a little bit about your Living Free album. That's your new release as of November 12th to 16th, right?
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
So are any of these songs compilations of what you've done in the past that haven't got onto, a LP or they call them EPs now?
There's actually two songs on the record. One is called Monday Morning Mass, and the other one is called Songbird, that we revisited from something that Sal and I had done, which was a version of Colossal, that we tried to get it back together in 2000. And we really only wrote three songs. And it never went anywhere. It didn't play. You know, we didn't play out. We just wrote a couple tunes, and we put them down. We didn't really record them in a good studio. We just kind of put them down as ideas.
Mm-hmm.
And we loved the songs, and when it came time to do the reunion, the two songs made the list of the old songs. And they're the only ones that stuck, because our first show, we played about an hour and a half, and it was all old songs. And we continued to play them for like 6 months, 6 to 8 months after that, and we just decided we got to write stuff and get rid of the old stuff. Even though we liked it, it just wasn't the direction we were going. So two songs made it, you know, from the previous version of the band, but all the other stuff is new. And it was written I was just going to say that some of them were written with our original drummer before he decided to not do this anymore. And then when Dave came in, we wrote a couple more tunes with him. And we even put a live track on the record because Brett Smith, the sound engineer at the Pony, had recorded us one night. And he said, you guys got to hear what I captured when you guys play with Government Mule and Blackberry Smoke at the summer stage. And when we heard it, it was just, you could hear the energy of the band in the recording. So we brought it into the studio. We just had it fine-tuned a little bit to get the levels right. And we added that on the record.
Was that the Sweet Little Lady song recorded live?
Yeah, it's the last song.
That's pretty cool. That's pretty cool. Yeah, you sound really, really psyched. I would imagine, you know, people think that, you know, you guys are going up there, you're just having a whole lot of fun. This is hard work, isn't it?
Well, I mean, with the original band, with Colossal Street Jam, it is work behind the scenes, I think. You know, the rehearsing and the writing and the recording, and you know, you want to do such a great job for not only yourself but also for the people that are listening. You know, you don't want to sell yourself short in any way. So yeah, it gets stressful at times because you want to make sure that it's perfect. And we're really on top of each other when it, you know, we listen to each other, our ideas and stuff. But we really are, we're our biggest critics. So you know, sometimes it's like a job. You know, you really worry about it so much because you don't want to put out a product that's not great. But at the other end is, you know, it's a lot of fun too. You know,
you
get out there and play
your
own stuff and to see people singing the words and dancing and having a good time. And it's the best thing ever. You know, when you're a musician, to be able to go out and play a great show and have people sing your lyrics or say, hey, I bought your record and I love track number 5 or this or that. It's really just a great thing to be part of.
You know, Mario Casella told me the same exact thing, almost verbatim. He says it's the best feeling that you get is when you hear them singing the words of your song.
And, I mean, you can't. The song Songbird that we have on the record, which we're actually making a video, we're starting our second video off the record, and it is for Songbird. It's the only ballad we've ever written, and it's really gotten the most airplay, especially in this local area. The college radio stations have picked it up. It's kind of like our crossover tune. You know, if you know what Colossal Street Jam is, you're expecting a band that is influenced by Grand Funk Railroad and Bad Company, and those are our, you know, main influences for what we write. And Songbird is kind of a crossover because it is a ballad. You could put it on the country station, you could probably put it on the pop station, and you could definitely put it on the rock station. So it's been a good one for us. And the thing is, everybody that comes to see us, they know the words, and it's exciting. I don't even have to sing the chorus to the song because somebody else is going to sing it, and it's exciting. I mean, I got a big smile on my face actually right now telling you this, because it's a good feeling to come back after all this time and be taken seriously and people like what we are doing. You know, it really is. And even if your local top promoter, who only believes in what he believes is good, doesn't believe in you, the people do. And that's how, you know, the band like Grand Funk Railroad, that's how they survived. The critics hated them. The promoters hated them. But the fans loved them. And that's fine. You got the fans on your side. Eventually you're going to win.
That's who you need. They're the voters. You know what I mean?
Right.
Who cares what the critics think? It's the voters. It's the fans that are coming out, you know, paying the cover, buying your stuff, you know, buying the booze, you know, at the bars, and that's what's keeping you coming back. So
you know
let's go ahead.
With Songbird and you know, like I was saying, the people are buying the record, the people are singing the songs, and they're asking us for more, and that's a thrill. You know, that's the big thrill. And you know, I only throw like the local promoter. The main reason why I said that is because, you know, people in the area, they want to tell you what's popular instead of really listening. And when they start to listen, that's when, you know, the good bands start getting the better shows. And I think it's starting to happen. There's so many great local bands that now are getting a chance to play, where before it was, they pigeonhole you as this or that. You know, when we came back out, no one was taking us seriously because they thought we were just a bunch of old guys getting back together. Not that we're old, but a bunch of guys getting back together again. You know, yeah, they'll be gone in 6 months. So now when you start having these fans show up and people singing the songs and people buying the records, now you get taken seriously. So that's why I threw the promoter thing in there, because we did have something to, you know, to fight against when we first got back together.
How do you find getting, you know, people to promote you? Do you have like a manager or a promotion agency that's getting your word out there? Or are you guys doing it yourself? Oh, there you go.
You're talking to them right now.
That's the best way, I believe, to do it, because you know your bandmates, and you know what you want, and plus you can watch everything.
The guys trust me, and I did an interview for a magazine out of Oklahoma the other day, and they said that they asked the same question, and then the follow up question was, well, what if you do the wrong thing? I said, well, the boys trust me enough to know that I'm not going to do the wrong thing, and I've been doing this for a long time, and they trust me. And why would I not have the best interest of the band in mind? Does it get overwhelming sometimes? Sure. You know, but at the same time, I love it. And going back to what you said, we don't have a management company, but we did just sign on with a PR company out of California called High Road Publicity.
Mm-hmm.
So we do now have a PR agency in our corner, which has been very good. So they're getting us the reviews. Our record went out to 1,000 reviewers. We're starting to get reviews back. Our press release went to magazines throughout the world, and we're starting to get write-ups everywhere. So that ball just started rolling, and it's only been 2 weeks, but it's been amazing so far.
How did they work? Did they work on a percentage, or did they work on results, or do you pay them up front? You don't have to tell me numbers and stuff. I'm kind of curious.
They paid them up front. And then on the back end, you know, when things start to happen, then we, you know, we go and revisit it. So, but they work with some big bands, Adelita's Way, and I can't remember the rest of the bands, but they're popular bands, and was really excited that they wanted to work with us. You know, of course we had to pay, you know, we paid them, but at the same time, you know, we're just some band from Red Bank, New Jersey. You know, they don't need to work with us. You know, they have big names with them, but the one guy, his name is Tom George. He fell in love with the record, and he's just like, I want to work with you guys. So, you know, we hashed some things out, and it's been great so far.
That's very cool. I was looking at your schedule, and you're playing at the Saint over in Asbury Park on the 10th of June. So that's not a very large venue. How many people can they get into that place there?
Well,
any idea?
We played the Saint three times last year and had a turn away between 75 and 100 people every time we played.
It's amazing. He can get
about 175 at the max in there. And the thing is, that show on the 10th, we actually, you know, we love Scott and we love the Saint. And Scott actually just put a show together with us headlining at the House of Independence, him and Dark City Entertainment worked together to have us at the House of Independence because, you know, we have been selling out shows, so we needed a bigger venue. And we do normally play the Pony, and we love the Pony. It just, they weren't open for when we were going to do the show. So Scott got together with Christine over at the House of Independence, and we put a great show together over there, and it was a lot of fun. The reason why we're playing the Saint on next Saturday is to help out good friends of ours. We are opening for the Billy Walton Band. They are doing their CD release party. So we are, along with Strawberry Pie, they are going to open the show. We're going to go on second, and then Billy Walton will headline to promote his new CD. So we're excited. We're just excited to be part of it. It's a show that we don't have to, you know, headline or go crazy about. We know we're going to, you know, our fans are going to show up. We know that we'll do a 50-minute set and actually feature some new music that will be on the new record. So if fans come out, they'll get to hear two or three new tunes. So that's why we're there. And just, you know, there's some camaraderie between the bands, and it's good. Bands helping each other out is like the old days. So there are some bands that really do work well together, and this is our first time playing with Billy, but we know the guys in the band, and we're happy to be part of it.
That looks like it's going to be an all day affair. You guys are going on at what 1 o'clock or 1 p.m.
The one at the Saint.
Yeah.
No, that show starts at 8 with Strawberry Pie. We're on at 9, and then Billy Walton will go on somewhere around 10:30.
Check your listing on Reverb. It says 1 p.m.
On Reverb Nation, yeah, that's sometimes that thing gets a little screwy on that. But yeah, if you check our site or check our Facebook, everything up there is good. But I'll definitely check that.
Okay, cool. Well, that's, you got some good things happening here. Hey, tell me about some of these folks that you played with, and they've been able to give you some good coattails. You played with Clarence Clemons and Deep Purple and Richie Blackmore, and this was back when you started the band
yeah,
I would imagine.
Yeah,
right?
that was way back when. Yeah, those shows were the older shows. But recently we played with Government Mule, Blackberry Smoke, Robbie Krieger, The Doors, which was a thrill. That was amazing. We've played with King's X. I love King's X. That's one of my favorite bands. I was excited to be on that show. Let me see. Who else will we play with?
Steve Morris.
Some good shows.
Zebra.
I'm sorry?
Steve
Morris.
Those
are
Zebra.
Older shows. Yeah,
Johnny
those shows
Winter.
Were back at the club. Johnny Winter. I'll tell you a quick story about Johnny Winter.
Go ahead.
I was 19 years old and we got on the Johnny Winter show at Club Binet. Do you remember Club Binet?
Oh yeah, up on Route 9 there in Sayreville or Parlin or.
Yeah, that was. I think that was. They consider that South Amboy.
South Amboy.
So,
there you go.
Yeah, that was on 35 in South Amboy, and Tom Binet was a big supporter of our band when we first started. I guess we were just young kids and we didn't expect money, and we got on the shows and we brought some people. So, you know, he really liked us, but he became, you know, a big fan of the band and put us on a lot of shows at his place. So Johnny Winter was scheduled and they needed an opening band, and bands that usually open up for Johnny Winter would just get booed off the stage. So, we didn't know, we were kids and we took the show. And, yeah, just par for the course. We were getting booed, you know. They didn't want to hear us. They wanted to hear Johnny. But, you know, Sal being such a great guitar player, I guess Johnny heard something from the backstage, and he stood side stage for, like, two songs. And his crowd had seen him standing there watching us and, like, clapping. And they started clapping. And then when he left, they were into us. And they stayed into us for our whole set. And what was great is we got to meet them afterwards, and they invited us to do two more shows with them. I was 19 years old. It was a pretty pretty incredible time, and that was one of our favorite shows. We talk about it quite often.
That's very cool. Now, with Clarence Clemons, what was the name of his club in Asbury Park? What was that called? Big Man's? Did you ever play there?
Oh, I really don't know. I might get shot for saying this, but I'm not really a follower of Bruce. I appreciate his music. I like some of the tunes, but I don't really know the history and a lot about Bruce. I just haven't followed. But I will tell you this. We opened for Clarence at the Stone Pony. Kyle Brendel put us on that show. We probably didn't sit on the show, but it worked out really well for us, and Clarence was an absolute gentleman. It was very nice to us. And once again, we were young kids. I think I was probably maybe 20, if that was either between 19 and 20 years old. And he was very nice to us, treated us with a lot of respect, and they thanked us for being on the show. And he didn't have to do that. You know, it was a good show.
I've heard he was very gracious with
he was a,
everyone.
He was a big man, but he was a sweet man. He definitely was. He was very nice to us.
That's very cool. You've had a long history here with a lot of great artists that you've been lucky to play with, and that's fantastic. You know,
and get to hang out with. You know, like when we opened for Bruce Dickinson from Iron Maiden. You know, he had his solo record, and he was doing, he did a Three Dog Night song on the record, and, you know, we got put on that show, and he stayed and watched our sound check, and he hung out with us afterwards, and invited us to stay and watch his sound check, and then was asking us what we thought of the sound, and that, for me, growing up, you know, I do have my idols that are like Mark Farner, Grand Funk, Paul Rodgers, Greg Allman, you know, but I also had the side of me that enjoyed, you know, the metal music, being Iron Maiden, Anthrax, you know, those guys, those singers, I love too. So to be able to stand there with Bruce Dickinson, you know, I was just in awe at the time. But, and he, once again, another rock star who could have just brushed us aside. He was the nicest guy, and he gave us a lot of time, and it was very cool.
That's fantastic. That's kind of what it takes, I think, because you have to start somewhere. And I think that these artists that are willing to help probably had the same help when they were coming up. And then, you know, they pass it on. Yeah. Wow. I'll tell you, you know, when I first heard of you, you were playing with a cover band, and you would never know the history prior to that. Do you guys do any cover songs now with your band, or
with Colossal?
Yeah,
we actually have one cover on the record. It's called Be Good to Yourself, and not many people have heard of this songwriter. You may have. Frankie Miller is a singer songwriter from Scotland.
I can't say I have, but that doesn't. Okay. I don't know a lot. So.
Yeah. Well, I suggest to anyone that's listening to go on YouTube and look up Frankie Miller. He was Paul Rodgers before Paul Rodgers. He was one of Rod Stewart's favorite singers. And what happened and what came about, how we did this song, was we hired Tony T. Lewis from High Voltage Music. Tony's from the UK. He's here in Red Bank now, and he is a fantastic engineer and producer. And we were recording some of the vocal tracks, and he had stopped me and he said, "You ever hear Frankie Millen?" I said, "No, I've never heard him." He said, "You remind me, your vocals, because of the raspiness in your voice, at times reminds me of Frankie Miller. Go home and listen to this song." So I went home and listened to Be Good to Yourself, which was one of Frankie's more popular songs. And I fell in love. I was just like, oh, my God, I love this. This is the type of singer that, you know, I aspire to be, this real bluesy, soulful, but raspy sounding vocalist. And I just fell in love with his music. So about a week later, I came to the guys. I said, "You got to hear this. I want to cover this song. I want to put it on the record." And nobody fought me. They were like, "This song is awesome. Let's do it." We, you know, put our little colossal spin on it. We added a half verse, added a little ending that wasn't part of the song, but it's become a song that people really really like in the live show.
That's fantastic. Let's see, what else do we have here? You got a lot of interesting stuff here. I was checking out a lot of this stuff here. So we got the about page here on your website just kind of blows me away with all these people that you've played with. People need to look at your website here on the internet and look at some of the people that you've played with and you opened for. Now,
yeah, it's growing. We have a couple shows that are coming up. That one of them, I guess I can announce because they're about to put it up on online, is that we will be playing with Chris Robinson in August. So, you know, Chris Robinson of the Black Crowes. So that's going to be a good show.
Oh, I like the Black Crowes. I was going to ask you about that. I know it's one of the bands that you're influenced by is the Black Crowes. What is your favorite song by them?
My favorite song by the Black Crowes. That's a really good one. I'd have to say "Cursed Diamond" which record? The third one, right? That's Amorica, I believe that's off of. Yeah, I love that. I love that record.
My favorite song with them is one is "Talk to Angels" and "Remedy."
Great song.
Yeah, "Remedy."
Yeah, great song.
Those are my two favorite songs from them. So you're gonna play with them. Where are you playing with Chris?
Guest, the Stone Pony Summer Stage.
A lot of our shows
are at the Stone Pony, so it's when we play local, it's either the Saint, the Stone Pony, and just recently House of Independence. But we will be we're branching out. We'll be in Philly. We'll be in New York. We have a show in Delaware. I have a couple connections in Austin. We're trying to get out there for 2 or 3 days. We got a connection in California. We're trying to get out to, you know, for 2 or 3 shows. So, you know, we're working. Our fall going into winter is going to be very busy.
I see the show with Chris Robinson here, 8/18. That's in August, right?
Yeah. Yep.
And who's Davon Frankenreiter?
Donovan, who's that?
Donovan Frankenreiter.
Oh yeah, yeah. He's a popular singer songwriter. Yeah, he's got a kind of like a I think more like a Grateful Dead type sound.
Yeah, I just picked this up today. I was out and about around Asbury Park, and I just picked up the Summer Stage thing. It goes all the way October. That's pretty cool.
Yeah.
Go ahead.
No, I didn't say that. I said, yep.
Okay. All right, so why don't we do this? Why don't we tell the folks how they could find you, with your website and your Twitter, and you want to give some of the gigs you have coming up, more than welcome. So I'm going to hand over the mic to you and let us have it.
All right, here we go. Our website is colossalstreetjam.com. We have a Facebook, facebook.com/colossalstreetjam. We're on Instagram. We're on Twitter. You just have to do a search. I believe it's colossal_street_J, because they wouldn't let me have the full name. We're on Reverb Nation, reverbnation.com/colossalstreetjam. We do have a SoundCloud page. Because of Al, tomorrow I'll have a MixCloud page, so look for that. Our show schedule goes like this. Once a month, we play Teak Rooftop in Red Bank, New Jersey. We do a thing called Colossal Street Jam and Friends, where we play 1 hour of our original music. We try to aim, you know, to play some of our newer stuff, so we get out there and give it a shot in front of people. And then we play 90 minutes with local musicians that we respect and enjoy playing with. So you'll get some great musicians playing with us. It's all cover stuff after our original stuff. So you'll hear Heart, Zeppelin, Stones, you know, Bad Company, all that kind of stuff with some of the greatest vocalists and guitar players in the area. We do that once a month at Teak. Then June 10th, we're with Billy Walton Band at the Saint, and that will be with Strawberry Pie. Tickets are $12, and they are available at the Saint. And then in July 22nd, we will be at the Whiskey Tango in Philadelphia. We'll be with our good friend Stone Baby, and also the Easy Outs, and a Philly band called the Peace Creeps, which, from what I heard today, has members of the Hooters in the band. So that should be very interesting. August 12th, we are at I Play America in Freehold. They are starting to do original acts. And we are playing with, they're not an original act, but we are doing a double headlining gig with Light My Fire, which is an unbelievable Doors tribute band. So we will be playing. Yeah, they're great. So we're going to split the night with them. And then the 18th is the Chris Robinson show at the Stone Pony. And then I've got some stuff in the works for September and October, which those shows will be announced real soon. There will be some national acts, but most of our shows in the fall and winter will be out of state and hopefully out of the country when we get into 2018. Well, we do have one show booked in Puerto Rico. Sometime between January 29th and February 4th, Colossal will be out there for a show with a band called Dysfunction. So it'll be interesting, but that's what we're looking at right now. We always update the website. I always update the Facebook. Facebook's the best place for us. I always do a lot of event pages and try to keep up with everything.
That's fantastic. Well, Gene, thanks for coming back. It's always great. You got stuff going on, and we're going to keep an eye on you, and we want you to come back again, and we're going to keep in touch, okay?
Thanks, Al. I love talking to you. I really, really thank you so much for having us on. You know, we talked 2 years ago, I think, and it's great to be back with you again. And anytime you need somebody to talk to, man, I'll talk to you all night long.
Okay. Yeah, you make a great show. You make a great show. You got Thank a great you. History. I'm a student of history, and when I was reading this about Page, I said, "Man, I knew nothing about this guy. I thought he, you know, his humble beginnings were with a cover band." And I'm saying, "Holy moly, this is cool."
I had to do the All cover right. stuff to keep myself busy and learn different styles of music, because, you know, you only get better by trying different things. You know,
absolutely. You know, I'll tell you one funny story before we say goodnight. Somebody told me, and I can't remember who, that they said, "Listen, you can get better and you can become a great artist by hiding in your basement and playing your guitar or whatever you do in your basement. But you're never going to become a great artist until you get out on the stage and do your thing, because it's a whole lot different than sitting in your basement and getting great." You know?
Hey, listen. It's anybody can go into a batting cage and hit a fastball coming straight at them. It's when that pitcher is up there throwing you the curveball and the knuckleball. That's when you truly learn how to be a great player.
That's correct.
And it's the same thing with music. You got to get out there. You got to get on the stage. You got to have people boo you. You have to have people not like what you're doing. And then you have to have people like what you're doing. So you have to learn it all. And if you don't learn it all, you're never gonna make yourself better.
That's great. Absolutely. Okay, Gene, thank you very much. All right, ladies
thank
and gentlemen,
you.
We're going to call it a night. Thank you, Gene Potts. Thank you, Colossal Street Jam. Good luck, guys. All right, good night. This is Al Fink, BNC Live. We'll be back tomorrow with Bruce Ferguson. Take care. Good night now.